Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Rav David C. Ben Rav Yosef, as well as the safety of the hostages and the safety of the Chayalim. Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Nun Ches, and we left off at the very bottom of Nun Zayinam Beis at the words Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba. Good morning to David Yoshua, to Yitzchak Aryeh, and to Avram Chaim, Dr. Joe, to Avram Moshe ben Yitzchak Meir, according to Reb Zalman from West Orange, great to see you, Reb Zalman, to Aryeh Tzvi, great to see you, to Reb Mordechai, to Reuven from Harrisburg, and to Chanoch Henoch. Very bottom of Nun Zayin on Beis, two lines from the bottom. Shomer Chinam, Eino Nishba. Oh, Jeremy got a Gemara. Thank you, Jeremy, for donating to the cause. Says the Gemara, Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba. The Mishnah said that a Shomer Chinam doesn't swear on Hektish. And yesterday we pointed out in Machol Kedushon, does that mean, let's say you know that he was negligent on Hektish, would he pay? The Mishnah says he doesn't swear. But what about paying if you know he was negligent? That's a machlokas. We've shown him the Ramban and the Rambam against the Ravid, whether or not poshea is like a mazik. If you say poshea is a mazik, so then he's going to be chayiv, even on karka, or even on hektish. But if you say, no, it's just a bad shmira, so then maybe he'd be exempt. Uraminu, I'll ask you a contradiction. Really? That you don't have to swear? That a Shomer Chinam does not swear on Hekdesh? I'll ask you a contradiction that we see that a Shomer Chinam does swear on Hekdesh. We learned a Mishnah about this in Shkolim. We spoke about this in Shkolim. You're going to remember this. Shomer Chinam, Ruminu, we have a contradiction. B'nei ha'yir sheshalchu es sheklaim. Remember this whole story? That people would send their machzis ha-shekel. There is a din that you have to give a machzis ha-shekel every year. And they would send it via shliach, the machzis ha-shekel. So let's say the shluchim, who the Gemara assumes at this point were shomer chinam, the shliach is a shomer chinam, he's not getting paid for it, and it gets lost along the way. They sent their half shekels, v'nignivu osha avdu, and they were lost. Now, there's a fascinating story that when the Kohanim would separate, they would do the Truma Salishka with all the coins of the Beis HaMikdash, they would include those that were on the way to being delivered that weren't there. Yeah, they would include those that were lost. They would include anyone who lost yours, we're including you in the Truma Salishka, in the coins that they would take out of the big office there, and they would use those coins for paying for all the karbanos for all the year. So, if they only found out that the stuff was lost after the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash had already separated the Trumas Alishka, it was after Nishbayin Lagizbarin, so the Shluchim would swear to the treasurers of Hektish, and everything was fine. Vimlav, but if they had not yet, if the Kohanim had not yet done the Trumas Alishka, so that the owners found out from the Shluchim that they had lost the shekels, Nishban Levnei Ha'ir, so then the Shluchim would swear to the owners, to the people who sent them, that it was lost, and they have to resend more shekels. Uvnei Ha'ir Shokan Achirim Tachteyen. So if they knew about it before the Trumas Alishka, so that wouldn't count. They knew it was lost, so they have to send new shkolin. So it sounds like Nishbamine Uvneir Shoklin Achirim Tachteim Nimtzu. Now, what if they found the shekels afterwards? O Shechzirim Aganavim, or the Ganavim gave it back. Elu ve'elu Shkolimim. Then they ended up paying twice. Once you designate something as Masas Shekel, they would have to pay twice. Ve'ein olam l'shana ba. It does not count for next year's machzis ha-shekel. Sorry, you think it can count for next year's? It doesn't work. Now wait a second. It says these shluchim, they were carrying hekdish, and they're shluchim, and they swear. Our Mishnah says you don't swear on Hekdesh. Here you see they would swear on Hekdesh. And Lachor, they were Shomer Chinam. Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Hacha Benosei Sachar Askinan. No. Maybe these people were paid watchmen. They weren't Shomer Chinam, they were Shomer Sachar. Okay, but the Mishnah says the Shomer Sachar doesn't pay on Hekdesh either. What does that accomplish? No, but they weren't swearing mitzad shomrim. They were swearing to collect their pay. They were swearing v'nishbaran litol scharan. But enechanami, from liability, they're free without a shvua, as the Mishnah says. But if they wanted to get paid, so this is a special shvua just to make sure that they didn't steal it themselves, in order to take their payment. Ask the Marihachi, Nishbain la Gizbarin, Lebnei Amir Baile. So what do you mean you swear to the Gizbar? The Gizbar is not the one who paid them. Their owners paid them. If the Shmuel was to collect the money, what are they swearing to the treasurer for? They should, both cases, they should swear to the original Mishalchim. Says the Gemara, Marabba, Nishbain Lebnei Ha'ir b'mamad Gizbarin. No, all it means is, you're right, they would swear to their original senders, because that's the one who's going to pay them their salary, because they're swearing to collect the salary, but it means they had to do it in the presence of the treasurers, in order that the treasurers shouldn't suspect them of stealing, in order that the gizbarim shouldn't call them negligent. We don't want them to have a reputation of being bad shluchim, so the gizbarim had to be there. But really, they were swearing to their original owners, who then, once they would swear, would pay them their wages. Ask the Gemara, really? They get their wages? V'nignivu osha avdu k'tani. It says it was lost or stolen. Now, if you're a shomer sachar, and you're chayiv on Geneva Vaveda. We know that a Shomer Sachar is usually chayiv on Geneva Vaveda. So why am I paying you if Geneva Vaveda happened? Why do you get your wages? At the end of the day, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. I paid you to watch it that it wouldn't get lost or stolen. And it got, says the Gemara, V'hanignivu shavdu k'tani. V'shomer Sachar b'Geneva Vaveda chayuvim michayiv. V'hachanami here too. Granted that the shluchim don't have to pay, they should at least lose their pay. They didn't do their job, says the Gemara. No, maybe he was talking about a case where it was stolen by onus. Nignivu balista mizuyin. It was stolen by armed robbers. Avdu shetava svinasa bayam. Or the Aveda was also where it was an ones, and therefore they're entitled to their payment. Now, that's one answer. So Shmuel gave one answer to resolve the contradiction between the Mishnah, our Mishnah, and the Mishnah Shkalim. Our Mishnah says that by Hekdesh, a Shomer Chinam doesn't swear. Shomer Sachar doesn't pay. Shkolim, it says, he does swear, that's to collect his wages. That was Shmuel's answer. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Maybe the answer is that the Mishnah Shkolim is going like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan, or Hamani, who is the Mishnah Shkolim going like Rabbi Shimon? It's the view of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. What did Rabbi Shimon say in our Mishnah? There is one case, Rabbi Shimon said, where Hekdesh, a Shomer Chinam is going to swear, and a Shomer Sachar is going to pay. What's that case? In a case of where you said, Hare alive. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Hamani, who's the author of the Mishnah Shkolim? Rabbi Shimoni. Do Amar Kachim Shechai Bachar Yusan. Any case of Kachim where you are responsible for, like if you said, Hare alive, right? The guy says, Hare alive, Ola. And he goes to one of his animals and he points to the animal and says, Hare alai ola. If that animal would get lost, he would have to provide another one. If he says, Hare zoo, this is an ola. If it gets lost, he doesn't have to repeat it. He doesn't have to replace it. But if he says, Hare alai, he's chai bachrei. So it's as if it's his. it's his in a certain manner. So that's why he's chayv to swear. According to Reb Shimon, you said yesh len ona v'nishbain alein. So there is ona, and you have to swear. Ah, oh, says the Gemara, hotenach ad shel nitshmar truma. I understand before the Kohanim would be Torah, it was lost then, so then it makes sense. But mishnishmar truma. But in the first case, if they only found out it was lost after the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash had already done the Trumas HaLishka and included them, so kachim she'eino chai b'achri yusininu. So there's no responsibility for this anymore because we said no one has to pay more shekels if it was done, if they discovered it after the Kohanim did, because when the Kohanim did the Trumas HaLishka, they included it in their minds when they were being mafresh even for those that were lost. So no one has to pay them, so there's no responsibility. Disanya, Torminal of Advela Gavela said Ligvos, when the Kohanim would separate the Trumas Alishka and the Beis HaMikdash, they would include in the Trumas stuff that was lost, stuff that was already collected, and even stuff that was on its way to Yerushalayim that hadn't been yet deposited in the Beis HaMikdash, that was included in the Trumas Alishka as well. So they're not responsible for it anymore. So it's really a pella how Rabbi Yochanan could say this. I don't understand. I mean, I didn't see anyone who addressed this. But anyway, the Gemara seems to reject Rabbi Yochanan, even though it sounds like an obvious rejection. What would Rabbi Yochanan respond to this? But anyway, the Gemara says, okay, so we'll give a third suggestion. Elam Rabbi Lazar, this is a third suggestion why they have to swear. Shvu azu takanas chachamim hi, shelo yu b'nei adam mezazlin bekdeishos. Wow. Even though our Mishnah says, by Hektish, you're exempt from swearing. But the Midoraisa, you're exempt from swearing on Hektish. The rabbis didn't want people taking advantage of Hektish, and therefore the rabbi said, by Hektish, you have to swear. The Shvua in Shkalim is a special takana. It's a takanas chacham, mishlo yibidei adam, mezazlan bekdeshos. That people who watch Hektish property, if you don't have to swear, so you think you're off the hook, you don't have to watch so carefully. So we say, no. If you don't watch as carefully, we're going to make you swear. So in order, we're going to make you swear so that people should not treat it carelessly. So midoraisa, they're exempt from shvua, but midrabanan, they have to swear. Okay, next part of the Mishnah, no say sachar inu mishalim, a shom sachar. The Shomer Sachar does not pay by Hektish. A Shomer Sachar does not pay Hektish. Oh. Rami Le, Rav Yosef Bar Chama Le Rabba. Rav Yosef Bar Chama asked a contradiction on this to Rabba. Tnan, our Mishnah says, No Se Sachar, Einu Mishalem, by Hektish. A Shomer Sachar doesn't pay. Uriminu, contradiction. Hasocher Es Hapoel. If a gizbar of Hektish, hires a worker, lishmar es hapara, let's say he hires a worker to watch the para aduma. So the para aduma should not become pasul, or lishmar es hatinok, or to watch the baby. If you remember, we learned that in order to do the para aduma, to make sure that the Kohen who would make the para aduma water, make sure that everything was tahar, they would basically raise this baby up since he's a little kid. When he was 3 years old, 5 years old, and they would make sure that no tumma would ever come in contact with this baby until he would become old enough, bar mitzvah, to be able to do the avoda, to make the para aduma water. So they would hire a guy, they would use hektish money to hire a guy to watch the baby, to make sure the baby wouldn't come tumma. Lishmor says zerarim. Or to guard the grain used for the Omer. Another Daf Yomi coincidence. Okay, I guess you could have had 49 days. This could have happened. So it's not such a, well, the carbon Omer, that was just 2 days ago. Okay. So it had to be Bitara. So to watch the grain used for the Omer, the barley. Ein noslim lo schar Shabbos. They wouldn't pay him for Shabbos. Because you're not allowed to make money on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make money. So lefikach ina chayes Shabbos alav. And therefore, since they wouldn't pay him for Shabbos, so he had no responsibility if something happened on Shabbos. Let's say it became tameh on Shabbos, the paraduim became tameh, so he wouldn't have to pay for it. However, hayasach is Shabbos. If he was paid by the day, so by the day they wouldn't pay him for Shabbos. But let's say they paid him by the week, so then it's okay. Haya sachir Shabbos, if he was paid by the week, or sachir chodesh, they paid him by the month, or sachir shana, they paid him by the year, or sachir shavua. Shavua means they paid him by the 7-year cycle. They paid him for all 7 years. So then, nost and lo, schar Shabbos. They would pay him for Shabbos, and lefikach achrayis Shabbos alav. So the responsibility for a loss on Shabbos does. He is chai for that. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. This guy is a Shomer Sachar, watching Hekdesh, and he got paid. So, sounds like if something happened on Shabbos or during the week, he'd have to pay. That's what it says, his responsibility. This is a guy watching Hekdesh, and he does have to pay. Shomer Sachar, our Mishnah said a Shomer Sachar of Hekdesh doesn't pay. Here it says a Shomer Sachar of Hekdesh does pay. My lav l'shalem, isn't the responsibility for paying for it? What do you mean? Why not? Show. What do you mean? Yeah, it says he has to pay his responsibility. Answers the Gemara, lo, it doesn't mean that he has to pay. He doesn't have to pay. What does it mean if it gets stolen on Shabbos that he's responsible? It means he loses his pay. Not that he has to pay for it, but he loses his wages, like we said before. Lo, lahav sin scharo. Maybe he's not obligated to pay for the loss, but he loses his wages. Says Gemara, Ihachi, Reisha Diktani, Ain't Achrayis Shabbos Alav. But wait a second. That doesn't fit with the first statement. It says he doesn't have responsibility. Right? If it gets lost on Shabbos, he's free. Wait a minute. Hachinami de Lahav Sit Scharo. It means that he doesn't. Does this mean that he doesn't lose his wages? Obviously not. He doesn't get paid on Shabbos. So what's he not losing? He doesn't get paid anyway. Umi is leschar Shabbos. Vaktani einos leschar Shabbos. So that can't be what's going on over here. Says the Gemara Ishtik. So Rabba was quiet. He had no answer. So Amalei, so he sheepishly asked the person who asked him the question. So Rabba, so he said, well, have you heard an answer to this? Amalei, midi shmielach baha. Have you heard an answer to this kasha? So Amalei, Rav Yosef bar Chama, who had originally asked the question to Rabba, answered about Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes, Kishikanu miyado. No, there is going to be one case where you're chayev to pay for Hekdesh if you make a kinyan. We're talking about a case where they made a kinyan from the watchman and made him commit to paying. So even though the Mishnah says that usually when you watch Hekdesh, you're not chayav. However, if you make a kinyan on a handkerchief and you obligate yourself in the beginning to be chayav, so then even though he's watching Hekdesh, he specifically obligated himself to pay. By making a kinyan, we're a kinyan sutter. You lift up a handkerchief and you obligated yourself. You obligated yourself to pay. Now, I don't know, what I was looking for is maybe, why shouldn't I need Avi here? He usually researches these things for me. What I didn't understand is that, why isn't this Masna Amashikosu Batorah? Isn't this a kinyan, isn't this a condition against a Dindo Raisa? So what's going like Rab Meir says, Masna Amashikosu Batorah B'davisha B'mamon Tino Kayim. Maybe that's the answer. I just don't understand why nobody spoke about this. I was looking for people to speak about this. I couldn't. I didn't look so far, but I don't understand. If the Torah says you're exempt, so you can make a kinyan to be mechayev yourself, I guess it's. I don't know. I don't know why they don't raise the issue of Masna Mashkos B'Torah over here. I don't understand it, but that's what it says. You can make a kinyan, and you obligated yourself. And not only that, the Chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan also gave the same explanation. Kishikanu miyado. We're talking about a case where Hekdesh, you know, that brisa that we discussed over there, He's talking about a case where they specifically made a kinyan. It's a mishnah. Right. We have a brisa that said if a guy hires the gizbar hires a guy to watch, so he's chayef to pay. We're talking about where he made a special kinyan to obligate himself. Oh, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kachim is chayef b'achir yusan yesh len ona, v'she'en chayef b'achir yusan ein len ona. Rabbi Shimon said, if a person says, hare alai ola, so then there would be ona'a if he sold that because it's his a little bit. It's a little bit his. It's a little bit Hashem's, a little bit his. What do you mean it's a little bit his? Because if he would lose it, he'd have to pay another one. So he's responsible for it. So there would be ona'a if he would sell that. But if it's hare zu, there's no ona'a. It purely belongs to Hashem. Tani Tana Kamei Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba. So Atana taught the following brisa. Tani Tana Kamei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. Now here, Tana doesn't really mean a Tana. That's what they point out because he said it in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, who was an Amora. So why do you have a Tana talking to Amora? It just means a Talmud Chacham. Tani Tana, one of the Amorai was a Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't a Tana. Tani Tana Kamei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. Kachim Shechai Bachur Yusan Chayev. Right, like we said, like Reb Shimon. If you have kachim that you are responsible for them, so then if a shomer swears falsely about kachim that he's chayev bachrayus for, so he's chayev shani kori bahen bashem v'kichesh, because I can apply the pasuk of bashem v'kichesh. The Gemara is going to ask on this in a minute. Because it belongs to Hashem. Sounds the opposite. The Gemara is going to say it in a second. The opposite, what do you mean? If you're chai b'achrayis, it's not Hashem's. So what do you mean by Hashem v'kichesh? That means it's yours. That's what you're chai for. V'she'enu chai b'achrayis, but saying that you're not responsible for it purely belongs to Hashem, therefore you're pater. Why? Shadi korban ba'amito v'kichesh. Because then it's yours. Says the Gemara, it's exactly the opposite. Amalei, Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba said to this Tana, Klapei Layah, what you're saying is exactly the opposite of what of the logic. Ibcha mistara. It should be the opposite. If you're not chai b'achrayis, that's b'ashem. And if you are chai b'achrayis, that's b'amito. So amalei. So he said to him, no, this is what I meant. He's, Esami, should I delete this price? Is it wrong? So amalei. He said, no, you just have to adjust it a little bit. No, don't worry, don't erase. Low. No, just you have to interpret it differently. Hakikam, this is what it means to say. Kachim shechayev b'achor yusan chayev. The israbu mi b'ashem v'kichesh. That kachim shechayev b'achrayis, since shechayev b'achrayis, you are a part owner, and Hashem is a part owner, so that's the karban that the pasuk is referring to when it says b'ashem v'kichesh. That even though Hashem is a part owner, still you're chayev to swear for it. Because you're also a part owner in it. However, but if you're not chay b'achrayis, potter, the imit mi ba'amito v'kichesh, it's excluded from ba'amito, because only something that is you to your friend is chayev, are you chayev for swearing as a shomer, but something that's purely ba'ashem, like this is purely shayach ta'ashem, so therefore you are potter, it's not yours. Now Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, even someone who sells a Sefer Torah, or an animal, or a jewel, there's no ona. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Hamocha Sefer Torah, Ein Lo Ona. Why? Why is there no ona for a Sefer Torah? V'she'ein Keis L'damel. A Sefer Torah, the value of a Sefer Torah is limitless. There's no limit to the value of a Sefer Torah. So a guy could pay $50,000, $100,000, $200,000. There's no ona. Because how could you evaluate the value of a Sefer Torah? It's worth more than anything. Has no value. Priceless. L'fishen keitzel damet. There's no limit to its value. So some say, really? Is there no limit?
So again, I brought the wrong Gemara to Shir today, but in my other Gemara, I remember it said that I was reviewing. Last time I was reviewing from a different Gemara, and then I forgot to switch back to Gemaras. All the Masiftas look exactly alike, so I apologize. But I'm pretty sure there's a Machlokas Harishonim about this. Is it even more than double? Some say, is there mamish no limit to a Sefer Torah? So some say no, if you overcharge more than double, so then there, even this opinion would hold that. And the Ritva also says that if this is true, when it says there's no enough for Sefer Torah, that only means that there's no enough for the buyer. Right? Because the buyer, as much as he wants, even if he pays much, much more, there's no enough. But what about for the seller? This logic wouldn't affect the seller, so for the seller there is enough. If somebody underpays, so then there would be enough for the seller. There's only no enough for the buyer. Now what about Behemo or Magalius and Lamana? Why an animal and a pearl is no enough? Why? Because a person's willing to pay too much for these things, because you need them as a pair. Like if you have one earring, right? So the woman she lost one earring. So she's going to pay even a lot above the price for the other one because it's a match. And an animal also, if you have to plow with two animals that are similar. If you plow with one very strong animal, one very weak animal, it's going to mess up the other animal. Says the Gemara, what about two shoes? What about two socks? What about two anything? You should say the same thing. Armulo, v'ahalo, akol, other roads of Zavgrim. Isn't this true of anything that you want to match? Rabbi Yehuda, hani chashivile. No, these are very, very important. Hani lo chashivile, but just the other socks, so you don't really care about matching the socks. You're not going to overpay for it that much. Oh, wait a second. So I thought. So here's what I said before. Says the Gemara, v'ad kama. It's not the Rishonim, it's the Gemara itself says what I thought. I thought I remembered learning. It's in the next line of the Gemara, I apologize. V'ad kama. How much can you overcharge, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? I remember Ad Kameh Demand. Even Rabbi Yehuda says you can only pay double. Tani went to the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir says, Af ha-mocher sus v'sayv v'chatitom ba-mochama. If you sell a horse or a sword or a shield during wartime, ein lahem ona. V'pnei sheyesh ben chai nefesh. It's life or death for these things. So during a war, you're willing to pay way over a sixth. You're willing to pay way over that for weapons. Right? So the United States can get whatever price they want from Israel at this time for the weapons because people are going to overpay during wartime. Okay, next Mishnah. Kishem Shonab Mecha Chumemkar. Ah, the whole rest of today's da'ach is talking about Ona'as Devarim. Verbal abuse. Just like there's onah in money, there's onah in speech. Wow. You could hurt somebody by overcharging with money. You could hurt somebody by offering gratuitous words. Kishem shonah b'mekach u'memkar, kach onah b'dvar. The Rishonim talk a lot about what's the kishem. What's the kishem? What are the two things that have to do with each other? So on the bottom of the Masechta, there's a whole discussion about this. You might have thought, right? You might have thought that stealing money from somebody, so that's really bad. But like, just words, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me. That's what we always thought when I was growing up. That's what people used to say. Words. Now you see how bad words are. Nowadays you see it with cyberbullying. You see what happens to kids. It's horrible. So the Chachamim, the rabbis, the Torah knew about this a long time ago. Cyberbullying. Don't say to a salesman, oh, how much does this cost? And you have no intention of buying it. You're just trying to like compare to something else. You're not allowed to do that. Verbal abuse. If a guy used to be a very bad person, then he did tshuva, and he now is a great person. Don't say to him, oh, I remember the way you used to be. I remember what you used to be like. I like to tell a story about this. I was once learning with a guy, Nebuchadnezzar, young guys now in the Olam Emes, unfortunately. I had a Chavrusa who used to be a rough guy, and then Imamish did complete tshuva, and he became a really unbelievable person. And I remember learning with him once, and one of his old friends from the old days came over to him and started hacking with him in the middle, and he didn't want me to know about all of his old things. I knew about them, but he didn't want me to. He was embarrassed in front of this guy, and like he was, I saw him like shrivel up and like go into his. He was so embarrassed, and this guy was saying, "Oh, remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? Remember when we did the other thing?" Guy's mom is talking to him in the middle while I'm learning with him. It was wild. So I always think about this this line of the Mishnah. Oh, I remember the way you used to be like. Remember when we did this? That's verbal abuse.
Rabbeinu Mechila, how do we stay in the Haggadah Mechila of the Avodah Zarah?
Ah, very interesting. Maschil Begnus and Messiah B'Shvach. Yeah, it's a good question. Because we're trying to show how great we are. Look at the lowly beginnings we came from.
Rabbeinu, every year is about two of us. Every year is about two of us. We're hard to mention our shortcoming beginnings.
Imu ben Geru, lo yom lo zechar maaseh avosecha. I remember the way your parents were. Shemar beger lo so never lo sil chatzem. You're not allowed to verbally abuse. Tana rabbanan. Lo sonu ish esami so. Bonas dvar makasim medaber. This is talking about verbal abuse. At Omer bonas dvar ma yinei bonas mamon. Maybe it means mamon. No, we already have another pasuk with that. Shu Omer. Verbal abuse. The guy's about tshuva, but don't say, I remember the way it used to be. A guy was a ger, comes to learn Torah. If someone has Yisurim, or a guy's getting sick, or a guy's sitting Shiva because Nebuch, he lost his children, you must not be so firm if all these problems are happening to you. Like Eov's friend said to him, did anyone who was a tzaddik ever get in such punishment like this? Must be, you should check your actions. Maybe if you sit in Shiva. There's a funny video about this. Right, about things not to say in the Shiva house. Did you see that video? Anyway, things not to say in the Shiva house. You don't say to a person who lost a child, you don't say such a thing. Oh, it must be a chas hashom. We don't understand why these things happen here. A person can't possibly say such a thing. Terrible to say such a thing. People say crazy things in Shiva houses. You have to be very careful what you say. That's why Chazal say you should shut your mouth and not say anything. That's the best thing. The best Shiva is you close your mouth, you come in and you showed up, and that's because if you try to say something, only Rav Shechter knows how to do that. Rav Shechter, I've been with him at Shiva houses many times. Rav Shechter goes to Shiva house, doesn't say anything. He just sits there the whole time. Sometimes he'll say a word or two, almost nothing. Said that's the way it says, because you're going to. The Gemara says you could cause so much pain to a person when they're sitting in Shiva. Yeah, chas v'shalom. You don't say such a thing.
You're not supposed to judge.
Yeah, we don't. We have no idea. We have no idea.
The dynamic is supposed to judge.
We have, exactly. Only the dynamic. Exactly. Ayom alo kedev shom alo chavir alo. Halo yiras. Yeah. Imayu chamar mivakshin tvoi menu. If donkey drivers were seeking grain from someone, lo yom alem luchu eitzo ploni shumoche tvoa. Oh, the Odeba Shalom Macham Eolam. This verbal abuse. A guy's looking to buy something. They say, oh, you're good, you can buy it from him. And it's a lie. Rabbi Huda Omer, Aflo Yisla'inav Alamechach B'shash Ein Lo Damin. Don't try to look to buy something and window shop when you have no intention of buying the thing. Sharia Dabar Maser Lalei. Right, all verbal abuse, it says, V'yareisa Me'alokecha, V'chol Dabar Maser Lalei. Hashem knows your real intentions. Verbally abusing somebody is worse than stealing money from him. Hashem knows deep inside what your intentions are.
Similar to the reneging on the field.
You got a mishapara. Your words. Rabbi Loza Omer, Zeb Begufo, Zeb Mamono. One, you affect somebody's body when you make fun of them, when you verbally abuse them. The other one's just the money. The other one, you affects the person's self-esteem. Rabbi Shua Bar Chmeni Omer, Zenitim Leshem. One of them you could return. Zelondi Leshem. You give a person a bad word, you can't take it back. Money, you steal from, you can pay back the money. But you say something negative, you say something hurtful to a person, that's it. It's over. You can't take it back. Tani Tana Kamei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. A Tana taught the following brayso in the presence of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Kol Amal Ben Pnei Chaver Barabim. If you embarrass somebody, Ki'ilu Shofei Chdamim, it's as if you killed them. And I unfortunately like to add, like nowadays you see on the internet, you see with kids that people verbally abuse them, you cause people chashkam to commit suicide. You have situations like this of kids who get verbally abused. This is Mamish. Chazal said this 1,000 years ago before there was an internet. It's like you killed them. Now we chas v'shalom see people have such low self-esteem as a result of being verbally abused that they chas v'shalom, they do kill each other. Rachman l'tzan lo alin. Kilu shofik damim. Amalei. Shapik armis. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to this Tana, what you're saying is correct. You see that the red, when you say something negative, you embarrass a person, the ruddiness of their complexion goes and they turn white. Tosis points out they actually turn red first, then they turn white. Why? I was always wondering about this, right? Usually a person gets embarrassed, he turns red. Why does the Gemara say he turns white? Tosis, no. He turns red because the blood is all gathering together in one place before it leaves. First he turns red, and then he turns white. One line Tosis here. The blood comes together before it runs away. Okay. Tosis gives us a biology lesson. What are they very careful about in Eretz Yisrael? They're careful not to embarrass people. Israelis. Really? I don't know. Okay. They're very careful not to embarrass people. Everybody goes to the Gehenim except for three people. Says Mark, really? Everyone goes to Gehenim? Really? Everyone who goes to Gehenim goes up except for three people who stay there. They stay in Gehenim, they never come up. If you marry somebody else's, you have relations with somebody else's wife. Or if you embarrass somebody publicly, or you call somebody by an embarrassing nickname. Even if he says, I have no problem with it, the Mefarshim say, still you can't do it. Because there's a little piece of him that gets embarrassed. Hold on 1 second, Mordechai, 1 second. Mechana hainu malbin. Isn't that the same as embarrassing somebody? Afagav doshbe b'shmei. Even if he's used to being called for me, he doesn't turn white. Still, it's a terrible aveda. Even he got used to he's not embarrassing so much. Still, the person intends to embarrass him, Rashi says. The Marsha says, it's using the nickname is forbidden because it's like saying lashon hara about him. Let me just finish. Amar Rav Chanan Rav Yochanan. Nachol Adam Sheyavo Al Suffocatious Ish. It's better to have relations with a suffocatious ish. Vayav Pechaver Barabim, and not to embarrass somebody in public. Wow. Minolon. Midarish Rava. The Darish Rava, my dechsev, uvitzalei samchu v'nesu karu v'lo ramu. When I limped, my enemies rejoiced and gathered. They wouldn't be quiet. I'm a double the Tanakh Kodesh Baruch. Ribbono shel Olam, Golem v'dov v'negas she'im ayu mekarim b'sari. If my enemies would rip me apart, lo haya dami shosis la'aretz. Because no blood would come out of me because they've made fun of me so much because of the sin with Bathsheba. V'lo od. Not only do they make fun of me, alafilu b'shash oskim b'negav olos omrimli. Even when they're learning the gavos, they make fun of me. David abal eishitish mishasa b'ma. V'ani omer lehem mishasa b'chenek. V'yesh lo chelek lo olam haba. But avalam haba p'nei chaver b'rabim, but someone who makes fun of his friend, ein lo chelek lo olam haba. Okay, and then the next one is this famous Gemara. So let's review this again tomorrow. Let's come back to this. Then we have the story with Tamar. We'll pick this up as Hashem tomorrow. Everyone should have a great day. Sorry, Mordechai, you wanted to say something.